This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
27 years since the last Finals game in this building. I know our fan base is really excited, as they should be. But as a team, as a us inside the locker room, we have more work to do.
With Andy Dirk Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network, that's 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. We had somebody tweet us YouTube down, but Swag's been checking it. It's on our end. It says that everything's been working okay. I see it right here. Looks like it's working okay. So if you're having issues, we apologize out there, but thanks for hanging with us today. It's a loaded show. We've a lot to discuss already, including the local angle, our fire, our ice cold. The Ducks are out of the soups. They lost to Texas. They got swept.
Yeah, Thorns and Timbers on the World Cup break. So World Cup starts this weekend.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We'll see. Congratulations again to Wes Lynn. They won another state title in baseball.
Ah.
Yeah. They've won four last five.
I know they were in the lacrosse championship game, too, against OES, but I don't know what the final
is. Turns out having money's nice.
Does help.
Westland, pretty good at almost everything they do. They beat our beloved Clackamas Cavs.
Ah.
Yeah. I knew a kid on that team. I was rooting for them.
Where'd they play the baseball championship
Kaiser.
Game?
They went down to
the Volcano Stadium.
Yeah, they played the Volcano Stadium.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
In and out for the winners?
Well, if you like three-hour waits, sure. Maybe they had somebody wait in line for him, celebrated, got the trophy, did the ceremony, did hugs and kisses, took pictures, took autographs. And then got
the burgers and the crappy fries were ready.
Yeah, crappy fries, absolutely.
There you go.
So a lot of the first hour was that. We did a little bit of that hockey. And then second hour, we did nothing but NBA Finals, to which Dusty's chimed in here, the brand man.
Oh, we got a seat for the brand man this morning.
He says that Chalamet, you could argue, actually deserves it the most because he's never seen a good Knicks team. And that Spike and Stiller... And McEnroe, they've all had really good to borderline great Knicks teams, but they've never seen Chalamet's never seen a good Knicks team.
Is Spike? Well, McEnroe was he was a kid in '73, so
Spike might be. Spike's older than you. You're 50.
I will be 55.
You're 55. That's right. I forgot about that. I think Spike Lee is in his 60s.
Yeah. So is McEnroe.
Yeah, dude, he's going to be, he just turned 69.
Yeah.
Nice.
So they remember the 73 title as kids.
Yeah.
Or younger.
But if you win a title when you're younger and you go through it as long as they have, there is a certain damn, dude, am I ever going to see this again in my life?
Exactly.
Barely remember the first one.
I know that feeling.
So he thinks that the hot take is that Chalamet should win it. I really enjoyed over the weekend. A lot of listeners. And it was more than I was expecting. Reaching out and DMing me about the 82-0.com game of finding the undefeated NBA
team. Did you ever find one?
I did. I finally got one. This is the wholehearted truth. And we'll get to the college football breaking news here in just a second. Hand to God, this is what happened. Friday, I played it a ton. And it kept coming up short. I don't even know how many times I've played it at this point. But Friday night, I bring my phone out. It is 11:45 at night. It was a late one. And I'm like, you know what? I'm doing this one more time, and then I'm taking a break. I can't handle this. So I open it up, and I start playing it. First name I get, 60s, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, I go, there you go.
Yeah, you
was
take him.
Was he still Lou Alcindor at that point?
He was still Lou Alcindor. This is one of the more premier players to get if you want to get it. Second spin, guess who I get? I get 60s. Sacramento, Oscar Robertson. I'm like, oh my God.
The original triple-double.
The two guys who won the title together.
Yes.
The big O. I'm like, oh my God. Third spin, Dominique Wilkins, 90s, because he was still putting up like 30 a game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, here we go. That's a good one. Fourth guy I get, Pete Maravich.
scoring machine.
Utah 70s, a certified all-time bucket getter.
All-time bucket getter.
I've got Oscar, Pete, Dominique, Kareem. I'm like, dude.
So what are you still looking for? You're looking for a small forward at that point.
I need a small forward. I need an all-time name. You give me this, and I got a shot.
Did you get Bird?
Miami 2010s.
Butler?
Miami
LeBron.
2010s. LeBron James. Put him at the small forward. Boom. 82-0.
There you go.
I finally got it.
There you go.
And people still haven't gotten it, and I appreciate you guys reaching out. But it's been a lot more fun in playing that game through you guys. And now, like, some people are playing the all-name game. One guy had, like, 24 wins or something. He gave me his all-name name team. That was fantastic. So I've really enjoyed it. Finally got it. Let's get to the mighty, the big, breaking news in the world of sports. A judge has ruled in favor of Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby in his eligibility lawsuit. A temporary injunction has been granted against the NCAA. He is now eligible to play the 2026 season, but it says not without some punishment. In the filing on Monday morning, it was noted that Sorsby will serve a two-game suspension along with this injunction. It'll be served in Texas Tech's first two games of the season, home against Abilene Christian and on the road against Oregon State. So Brendan Sorsby will not play against the Beavs. Sorsby's lawsuit came as part of his fight for eligibility following allegations of gambling. The NCAA opened the investigation against the wagers in which he allegedly placed while at Indiana and later entered a residential treatment program for gambling addiction. Pete Nakos reported Sorsby placed thousands of bets on a gambling app in recent years, including while he was on the Indiana team redshirting as a freshman in 2022. He filed a lawsuit. NCAA ruled the former Cincinnati quarterback ineligible. Texas Tech filed the reinstatement from there. May 26th, the NCAA denied that request, meaning it came down to the ruling in court June 1st through Texas. Though Texas Tech later announced it planned to appeal the decision. Sorsby's lawsuit was initially assigned to Philip Hayes, who was that Texas Tech judge.
Yeah.
He had to recuse himself. Well, he didn't have to, but he chose to. Judge Ken Curry later replaced him as Sorsby sought an injunction to be eligible to play. According to the initial filing, Sorsby's attorneys argued he suffered from a clinically diagnosed gambling disorder, which is a mental health condition. His attorneys also called out the NCAA's response to the situation, saying instead of exercising compassion, the NCAA has responded with silence, repeated information demands, and delayed. The NCAA's response reflects a self-protective bureaucracy that has abandoned its professed commitment to student-athlete well-being, that ignores the contractual and legal obligation it owes to student-athletes. So you can indeed gamble on your own team and be eligible to play college football. Welcome to 2026 college football. Brendan Sorsby, eligible. He's only going to serve two-game suspension against teams that they should beat.
I don't know what to say. If I'm Charlie Baker and I'm going to tell all the schools.
You don't know what to say. This is absurd. This is insanity.
Well, if I'm
We have a kid that literally bet on his team while being a player.
Yeah, I know.
What are we doing? How? A mental disorder? It's gambling addiction. Absolutely. But what? That's okay?
Yeah.
You can just do this?
Apparently so.
If they don't pass the legislation, and I don't like a lot of elements of this bill.
No, it's incomplete, but I think they understand if the government doesn't give the NCAA and schools something, it can unravel.
They need to. So I know why Texas Tech is not going to do it. With Sorsby, they probably project better than fill in the blank backup, right?
Yeah.
Take them out of this. How every conference commissioner, how they don't meet and say, we're drawing our own lines here. You, and group of six. If your guy gambles on the roster, on the team.
He's done.
And nobody else eligible in any of these conferences. This is why you idiots are reaching out for government help. You welfare queens, you need these legislators to dictate your entire sport because you idiots, you absolute morons, cannot come together and draw lines of gambling while on roster, bad, not eligible. Instead, you all want your teams and your conferences because your mark knows who's the best possible candidate to win a title out of the Big 12, at least going into the season.
Oh, Texas Tech.
It's Texas Tech. So who does he want to play? He wants Sorsby to play. He's going to say something about, oh, you know, it's not perfect, but as the judge ruled, like, he's just going to find a way to excuse this. All of these people could fix these issues. They could. They could come together and say, you can't do it, we can't do it, they can't do it. It's really that simple, and they're not going to. I cannot believe, I mean, I'm not saying I can't believe. In this day and age, I can believe almost anything. But it's just absolute crazy stuff to say that a guy that gambled on his own team is going to be eligible to play. And his only punishment is to not play against Abilene Christian and Oregon State? Look, I love my Beavs. I hope that they can be close in that game. They're probably going to lose that game by 20. So, like, what are we doing here?
I'm speechless.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense that this is even a possibility of happening. The Chambliss stuff is different. Now, you can say how you parse out how many years of eligibility versus transferring from a lower division.
That's
a kind of debatable thing for me. I know he's older, but I'm more in the wheelhouse of arguing for that.
Yeah. If he was out and injured, and where does the NCAA, you know, get into the medical, deciding what's medically appropriate or that sort of thing?
Cam McCormick played 9 years, dude. Like, some of that stuff is ridiculous, but also, like, okay, I can understand some of the argument.
If there is one thing in sports that has been the same my entire lifetime, you cannot gamble on your own sport, especially
in
your own team.
Yes.
Professional, you can't do it, and everybody knows it.
We've seen it hit baseball in the history of the sport. We're watching it now happen involving the NBA. Yeah. The NFL has had this happen with guys gambling, like, in their facilities.
It's simply not allowed or tolerated in any way, shape, or form.
How do you respond to this if you're other programs? Like, if you're BYU and you're Kalani Sitake, if you're Aranda at Baylor, if you are Sark, if you're Lane, like, if you're DeBoer, if you're Smart, if you're Day, if you're any of these guys, what do you say publicly now? This is something that you have to ask these guys. You need to pin them down. Should student athletes be allowed to play if they're caught gambling on their team while on the roster? You pin them down now, and I wish the powers that be would come together and say, let's figure this out. Let's say, I can't do it, you can't do it, we can't do it. You can implement stuff. You can implement rule changes. You don't need government to hand you every way of navigating these waters. None of them want to do it because they all want to play dirty. They all want the advantage. They all want to win the title.
But the only way you do that and all agree to it, at some point you have to appoint, then there has to be a commissioner or a commissioner-type person, an individual, not a body like the NCAA. But there's somebody that's actually in charge, and they don't want to do that because they cede power. The conference commissioners do.
I
mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't be shocked by this. But
I mean, no, we're not like, could you have, was there absolutely no way you ever thought this case? No, you were like.
But where did you put this likelihood of, like, actually
it was
happening?
Low.
I thought it was low, too.
Now, and it's just a temporary injunction. There will be another hearing, a permanent injunction or something coming up. But it has to have. The other problem is it has to happen quickly. And
I'm trying to find more information out because this came out about 20 minutes ago. So I'm trying to parse through.
I don't know if the whole ruling's been released
yet. Because the Chambliss one was a local judge ruling. That's not. Yeah. Changing, he's gonna play. Well, so you're saying there's a follow-up, and I'm like, well, is there, or is this done?
Let me go. Is it a temporary? What is it?
Dude, they're
saying
this is
a temporary injunction. So there's a follow-up for a permanent injunction. So the temporary injunction, allows him to go and practice with the team or be with the team. Because if it comes down later, basically they're saying, no, he has a case in some capacity through his lawyers, and it needs to be all heard, and there needs to be discovery and all of those sorts of things. But there is definitely a clock, and it's always hard when there's a clock with the court system because...
Well, here's what the NCAA has said. They've actually chimed in on this. The NCAA strongly disagrees with the court's ruling in Sorsby's case and is deeply concerned about the damaging, far-reaching, and broadly destabilizing ramifications of this outcome, which undermines and corrupts the integrity of sports. The NCAA is committed to supporting student-athlete mental health, but must continue to aggressively defend against actions that defraud college athletics and threaten competitive integrity, such as betting on one's own sport. Remember, he gambled on, he placed 2,900 bets totaling more than $30,000 from June 2022 through September 2023, according to the documents. His bets included 40 on games involving his own team, then Indiana, but none on games in which he was involved or had a legitimate chance of playing, according to the documents. The NCAA alleged that Sorsby also placed parlay bets involving Indiana basketball games that include wagers in favor of players on opposing teams. So he bet against Indiana basketball teams when they played certain players. So I hear what you're saying. It is technically listed as a temporary injunction. I'm not smart enough legally to know what that means going forward. The NCAA is not, they're not saying anything in terms of like the follow-up on this. So I don't know how close we are to it just being permanent.
That's just it. They got to find, there will be another injunction hearing to see if it's permanent or not. And then if it's permanent, then they can appeal. They can't necessarily appeal this.
Yeah, and you could be absolutely right. I'm not trying to say you're not right here because I'm telling you, I don't know as much. The way it's being framed, though, is if they're pretty sure this dude's going to play.
That's the thing.
And this is just insanity.
Because by the time it would get all the way through the court system,
so what?
The season will be over.
What would prevent anybody from being ineligible?
I don't know.
If this is not, you're not ineligible, what qualifies?
Basically, the only thing I think is your academic standing, whereas you...
Oh, yeah, we trust schools to be honest about their academic
standing. Yeah, exactly.
North Carolina made up a whole major.
I know.
Like, that's already been poo-pooed. So outside of that, what?
I don't know.
Striking an official to the face? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know anymore. I don't know what is okay and what is not okay. All I know is this is not
certainly
okay.
Certainly from the NCAA standpoint. Now, from schools...
How does the judge okay this?
I don't know.
We had a Texas Tech judge recuse himself. Have we done any research on the follow-up guy? Is the other guy, is he a Texas Tech lifer who had to go to commuter school and couldn't get into Tech but stayed with the fandom? I don't know what to make of this. This is crazy.
I don't know.
Just nuts. Just nuts. So if you're just tuning in, Brendan Sorsby, who gambled on Indiana football while being a member of Indiana football, he's temporary. He granted a temporary injunction. I'll continue to try to read up on this during commercial breaks, see what the guys and likes of Ross Dellinger are saying about it. But that's the big breaking news of the sport is Brendan Sorsby is going to be eligible to play in 2026. He'll only miss two games, by the way. The ruling comes with he has to serve the two-game suspension, and the two games he's going to be suspended from, it's not BYU. It's not whoever else could be good in the Big 12. Arizona State, I don't know who they play. It's going to be mighty Abilene Christian. And I'm sorry to disappoint you Beaver fans out there. Your ticket at Oregon State, Texas Tech will not be included watching Brendan Sorsby. But you can bet your bottom dollar the Bees will probably lose that game still. Texas Tech's pretty loaded. But Sorsby will be suspended for those two games. We'll do some more research on this during the commercial break. But that's the big news out of the college football world. Bombshell this morning, Brendan Sorsby, Texas Tech quarterback, granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA and eligible to play as of now for the Red Raiders in 2026. Absolute madness. Loaded third hour. We roll on. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 8:27 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. Hello. Hello, 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 hello. Yep, this thing's on. We are live. We're rocking. Nice little weekend busyness with graduations and whatnot. Hope everybody was doing all right. You know, you get the graduations. Do you do the grad party the same weekend of? We got people. I got people in my family doing the July, the late July. It's, you know, it's kind of all over the place with these grad parties, but a busy weekend was had. So I don't know if I'm going to get to my fun with audio here. One sad note of fun with audio, and then one fun note of audio that's hyper-local. I emailed you one of those clips, pretty sure. But we'll get to the audio coming up here in the next segment. We'll get back into the finals with our good friend Jason Minix over there in San Antonio, Texas. We tried to go to New York, but our New York people, they found themselves being extra swamped today. The craziness involving Game 3 and being at Madison Square Garden. So we'll go to the San Antonio side. How shell-shocked are they? They're down 0-2. They've been really close in both games, but they're not the ones coming up with the big play. It's the New York Knicks who are up 2-0. So we'll talk with our great friend, Mr. Fantastic himself, Jason Minix, will join us at the top of the final hour of the radio program. But I want to get back into the Sorsby thing here, Swag. So I was reading about this. I was trying to read as much as I can during the show, which is always the delight. And so Ross Dellinger, who's obviously pretty big in reporting this. I'm sure he's writing a story as we speak for Yahoo Sports.
They're probably trying to go through it, maybe talking to a legal analyst that's available to him to explain anything that they're not familiar with.
So here it is, and I think you, to your credit, you kind of said this, as they called it a temporary granted injunction against the NCAA. Dellinger reports the NCAA is almost certain to appeal the decision. For now, the injunction prevents the NCAA from prohibiting Sorsby from practicing, playing, or otherwise participating on Texas Tech's football team for the 2026 season. Sorsby's attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, told Yahoo Sports, get this quote, "This is just a result. He will continue the treatment, devote himself to his team, and educating others about the dangers of gambling addiction. And there is no damage to the competitive integrity of NCAA games," end quote. I think Jeffrey Kessler's been doing this a while. That's quite a statement to be made.
Well, he's as high-powered an attorney in sports and defending unions and players and all of those sorts of things over the years.
Well, I think it's a very accurate
Sorsby reading. Went and found Texas Tech or whoever got Kessler to take the case,
well,
knew what they were doing.
I'll read a couple thoughts because I agree. We talked about this in the last segment. Scott Van Pelt, there really aren't any rules. You just go to court. If it fails, go to court again until a judge says you're all set. Want a seventh year? Sure. Broke rules? It's fine. There aren't any rules. Kevin Clark, as disastrous a ruling as there has ever been in modern sports, the pathway is now clear. Gamble as much as you like, including on your own team, and hope you are or get good enough that you can lawyer up and down the line, a much bigger disaster than anything with NIL or portal. I agree 100%. You can complain about the portal. You complain about NIL, whatever you want. This is an embarrassment to sport. Not the NCAA, not college football. This is an embarrassment to sport. How you can have a guy openly caught gambling while on the team, and any metric of our brains, any portion of our brains, this is, you're donezo. And somehow, to Scott Van Pelt's point, and I largely agree with this, with just how we handle things in America in general, not just sports, I just feel like you get an infinite amount of appeals. I know that's not the case. I know smart people are listening going, this guy's an idiot. He has no idea what happens in law. I understand it. I'm just telling you, as an idiot on the outside looking in, it just feels like anything that you don't get, you just get to file an appeal. And then that does it. Oh, I get to file a second appeal. I'm going to file again. I'm going to file 9 appeals until the 9th appeal goes my way. That's how it feels on some of these big things that pop up in sport and otherwise.
Or you go to a different jurisdiction.
You got to go to this judge and that judge. And I just, dude, I cannot believe. I just, it's nuts. This is madness. This is insanity. And I, if I'm
Does
anybody in the Big 12,
get?
If I'm Kenny Dillingham, I'm out right now. I am posting a
going
video.
Going to the NFL?
Dude, no. I'm going scorched earth.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care that you might play me and you might whoop my ass. I think coaches need to, and they won't because most of them are cowards. And they also want to play by their own rules where they allow any player to get away with anything that they need because the player is so good. But This is where, like, them crawling to Congress and the government and begging, please help us. We can't solve our own issues. This is where it's an embarrassment. If you had any, you post right now. You do an interview. You post a video on your socials. You do something saying this is not right. We need to draw lines. We need to be playing by all the same rules. And look, Texas Tech and Joey McGuire and what's the guy's name? Cody Campbell.
Yeah.
They're all going to be like, oh, yeah? Play us right now. We'll buy out all your games. Play us. Like, yeah, that's where that's going to fall on deaf ears. You do it to Texas as a jokey response. I'm all in. It's fun. You do it now because, like, four coaches come out and go against you. I don't care about your dumb response. This should not be allowed. This is I actually agree with Kevin Clark. This is one of the crazier decisions made in our lifetime in sport. Not just college football, sport in general. And as wild as the NIL and the portal era has felt, Swag, I guess I thought there'd be some level of guardrail to the point of thinking this was, you could not do this. This is not something you get away with. And so Brendan Sorsby's only going to be serving a 2-game suspension. He'll be a Red Raider, I guess, until the court. Like, what court do you even go to now? If you're in the NCAA, where are you filing this? Do you have to go to the same court? This is the element I don't understand.
Well, usually, I believe that same judge would hear the permanent injunction hearing, and then once a ruling is made there,
well,
why
would you change your mind if you're the judge? You've just heard it, and you granted the temporary injunction.
There's actually more
testimony. Is there more evidence of gambling? Is there?
I don't know.
If you were to place a wager and bet on this, would you bet it that he's going to get the permanent?
Usually they don't grant temporary injunctions unless they think there's a good chance you'll get a permanent one. Then there will be an appeal, and I don't know if that goes. Does it say, is it in federal court or is it state court?
That's what I'm trying to find
out. If it's state court, then it goes to a state appellate court or the state Supreme Court, and then after that they could take it to the federal Supreme Court if they wanted.
Well, this is where the news breaking in the middle of a show makes it a little harder.
If it's a federal court, then there would be whatever appellate district they are in. But I just don't know how fast this can get through.
So this is a district court in Lubbock County, Texas, is where this was filed.
Okay.
So bear that in mind. And now, does it go?
I believe it's a
I don't know.
Leads me to believe it's a state court.
Okay.
State of Texas.
Oh.
So you have to
where
go.
Where do you think the state of Texas is going to rule?
That's part of the problem, too.
I
don't know if after that they can get it into a federal court and maybe.
You're gambling on him playing, right?
At this point.
I think everybody is.
Yeah.
Man. It's a bad look, dude. It's a bad look for your sport. This is why. This is honestly. I know people hear this and I think they kind of misinterpret what I mean by it. And look, I know me and Dirt were going back and forth last week about, you know, everything that's going on between the legislators and trying to get the College Sports Act passed and all that stuff. Like, I know what we were arguing. There are a lot of elements of that bill I don't like on what I've seen from it. The one thing I have been saying for multiple years now, you can point to ratings. You can point to financial growth. It doesn't make my point invalid. This is what I mean when I say the sport is broken. Like, yeah, is Texas Tech in the playoff against Texas going to generate 16 million viewers? Probably. Make a ton of money in advertising? Probably. But when Brendan Sorsby throws a game-winning touchdown pass because he bet on himself in court, you're going to understand my point of this is why I say it's broken. It's not the sport not being good. It's not the sport isn't interesting. It's not the sport doesn't have parity in a way that we maybe have never seen. Yeah, probably haven't seen ever in that sport, right? We're coming from a voting era into a 2-team BCS, into the 4-team playoff, into the 12-team and maybe beyond. We've never seen this many teams have a chance. I mean, this is you legit have 10 programs that go in every year or more thinking, dude, we got the transfer guy at the right spot. We can do this. Our conference is this or that. All of that stuff is valid. I'm not arguing that. But this.
I have a competition problem.
This is why I say what I say. This is why I say the sport is broken. It is. It's true. Both things can be true, folks. You can have a thriving sport
yep.
that is incredibly popular while also acknowledging, boy, is it broken in like eight places right now. And this is, of
and it
all the
may
things,
not
the most
all fall apart here in the next year or two, but it took boxing a while to completely fall apart.
The tough thing is just
height.
What's the popularity of the sport for the country?
Yeah.
If the NFL starts to fall a little bit, then yeah, I would actually expect college to fall. But as long as football is our number one sport as a country, it's probably a slow play. Maybe we're 50. We're 50-year-old guys, and you're in your young 60s, and we're all just.
You'd be wondering like, what happened.
Well, you'd be like 70-something. I was trying to do you a favor there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll still look like I'm in my young 60s. Yeah,
you'll have the hair of a 20-year-old.
That's right.
But, like, we'll be debating and talking about this and saying, man, remember that? We can pinpoint that and that and that and that and that. But until that happens, man, I just it's not going to fall off in popularity. Game day is still going to get millions of viewers. They're going to go to these campuses. It's a terrible look. Somebody tweeted us, Pete Rose has got to be turning over in his grave. I mean.
Yeah.
He did literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Should have filed a lawsuit against Major League Baseball. Maybe he did. I actually don't know if he did. Did he?
I don't think that's anything, again, because they have a collective bargaining agreement.
You're right. It's totally different. Yeah.
And unions.
You're right. This is why it's all dumb.
Yeah.
What? Just an embarrassment to the sport. Not a good look, man. Not a good look. All right. Let's get to our fun with audio, one for a sad reason, but one for a fun reason. And then Jason Minnix will join us coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Jason Minnix is going to join us. Came in all cocky sniffing because the Spurs beat the Blazers. We're doing fantastic. You still doing fantastic? Down 0-2 in the finals. Join the Blazers in the offseason. Minnix is our guy. And I texted him this morning to hop on because I wanted to get an angle at this game. Couldn't get anybody in New York, so we'll go to San Antonio angle. They're down 0-2, going back to the Garden. We'll get back into that game in the final hour of the radio program. But last half hour or so, we've been talking about Brendan Sorsby. He is going to be playing for the Red Raiders. If you're just turning on your radio, he has got granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA. NCAA will probably be appealing this and try to overturn it, but we think it's going to be heard in the state of Texas, which, corrupt, not corrupt, say whatever you want to say, doesn't feel like it's going to go the way of the NCAA there. Largely nothing is. Got two bits of audio to play here. One is for a fun but sad reason. This was really unfortunate, man. I've been an NBA League Pass guy for a few years now. I've enjoyed League Pass. Back in the day, I had a buddy who'd get League Pass, and I was too poor to get it, so I'd use his once in a while when he wasn't. And League Pass it's good to have, except I think the way they operate it for the NBA is terrible. Like, I wish it was as good as MLB Extra Innings. I can watch Braves Pirates and see that sweep of that sorry-ass Pittsburgh team, suck it, Iverson, and I can watch that no problem at all, okay? NBA League Pass has its issues. But watching League Pass, once in a while you see a Bulls game. They've had some good years. They've had some not so good. They've been mediocre. Really sad news out of the NBA world. Three-time NBA champion Stacey King passed away this weekend, age 59, so unexpected. No list of how he died, but people are, really sad and broken up about this. He's been a long-time play-by-play guy for the Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
And famously, we played this call when it came out, had this call on the Chicago Sports Network.
Boots for the win!
Bootsy Mane has done it again! Put some respect on Bootsy Mane's name! Bang, bang, bang! Late game killer! We're coming back to you, Chicago. We're coming back home. The cardiac Bulls do it again. We had a cardiac arrest in the third, but we're back. Oh my goodness.
He was famously the guy that would like be out of breath going, Elizabeth, I'm coming home, as an homage. And so I was sad to see this. Obviously a three-time champion, so a lot of people remember him as a player, but in his, like, I don't remember how what year he was hired for Chicago.
He's been there a while.
It feels like he's been there a hot minute. He's seen a lot of crappy basketball. But you know what? I've actually seen some crappy Bulls teams on League Pass. Not like whole games, but like, you know, dancing around a little bit. Because they'd be earlier than the Blazers. Yeah. It would still be such an entertaining broadcast. Because they also got Adam Amin on that broadcast. So Amin
and King,
you
have
a
great chemistry with your broadcast team.
Yes.
That makes all the difference in the world in getting through a crappy stretch, a losing streak, crappy
seasons.
Even the
games they lose, man. Like Eric Collins, who we like to have on. Dude, the Hornets have been dog crap for a while. He would make calls for the other team that made it sound like they were his team just because it was such a big moment and play. And you know, so I just appreciate play-by-play guys who give it their all. And I was really sad to see that he passed away at the age of 59. Really sad. Big loss for Chicago.
Soon. Way too soon.
Yeah, 59's crazy young, man.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, condolences out there. And Chicago sports fans, they lost a great one, man. A three-time champion and an Emmy-winning broadcaster. He won the Sports Emmy for lead analyst for local teams. Another bit of audio I wanted to play. So, Knicks might win the title this year. We're having I think it's a great NBA Finals. I know it's a 2-0 series lead.
It's been two outstanding games, certainly keeping your attention. It's not like we're getting duds.
It's been full of intrigue, confusion, like star players making plays, guys getting out of playing above.
You're not turning these off early.
No. It's been a good series. 10 years ago, almost to the day, we watched the craziest comeback in league history. The Cavs came back from 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors, who won 73 games that year.
Yes.
Now, this ended up leading to the downfall of the NBA and Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. But we had back-to-back series of Cleveland Warriors in 15, and that was surprisingly a good series despite not having Kyrie after game one and no Kevin Love at all. LeBron and Matthew Dellavedova. Timofey Mozgov was a name we said. They went to six. Six. You know, let me just say this sidebar. This is going to sound dumb to a lot of people. I think you can make the best argument you can make for LeBron's GOAT case is actually the years he's lost championships.
Yeah, that first Cavs team he got to the finals with Booby Gibson and whoever the hell else was on that squad.
I'm sorry. No player in league history is ever taking that. Go look at the roster.
I just looked at it.
I cannot believe they won the East. I don't care what the East was or was not.
Yeah.
And he was 22. But I think you can make, sidebar, the best GOAT conversations for LeBron you could actually make are maybe the years they've lost finals. Sans 2011. That one is always going to stick with him. But 2016 was magical for his career because the year he won that championship ended up being the exact day of the parade, Jordan greenlit the Last Dance documentary series, which was great to have during COVID. Well, because it's the 10-year, Richard Jefferson, he does the Road Trippin' podcast. Him and Channing Frye do a great job. Local legend Channing Frye, by the way. They do a podcast together. Well, he is doing a series of this, of winning the championship. And so Richard Jefferson is sitting down with members of this. He talked to Iman Shumpert, and they gave some good stuff. He talked with Kevin Love. Now, Kevin Love is doing the Calm app. Be kind to your mind, the mental health space stuff.
Yep.
Part of that, I think, for Kevin Love is finding ways to calm his mind. For some people, not all, there's a substance you can take to calm your mind, ease your anxiety. I think a lot of us around here in the Pacific Northwest are familiar with that substance. It grows. It grows. It's a bud.
It's a cash crop.
It's a cash crop. Well, not for all, but yeah. And Kevin Love is wearing shades inside doing an interview, which kind of makes me wonder a little bit here. And Kevin Love was asked the question, you hear at the beginning, of Richard Jefferson asking Kevin Love about YouTube. Take a listen.
Last thing you watched on YouTube, bro?
I don't know. Sometimes I get really high and watch like Larry Bird highlights or like the old 86 Celtics. So probably that, like Bad Boy Pistons. I love that era. And then if I get really high, I'll watch like the early 90s Blazers or like old Sabonis highlights too.
The 90s Blazers were a monster. That was like, that was good.
What if I came really
okay.
Kenyon Martin, it's Richard Jefferson, and then just lobs from Jason Kidd.
Yo, he was a monster.
I love that he has to get like really high He's going to go to the Nets, who, by the way, were a really fun watch, but got swept out of – I think they got swept out of the finals. They weren't much of a competition in the finals in the 2 years they made it against the Lakers and the Spurs. But I love the – when I get high, I watch the 80s Celtics, the bad boy Pistons. When I get really high, I love that you got to get really high to watch the 90s Blazers, who were in two finals, and then Sabonis came over, and you had a little bit of the bad boy kind of ish, new age. We got to the we get to the conference finals back to back years. I love that he shouted out the Blazers there. Well, when you get really high, Swag, what would you be inclined to watch? Let me guess this one, because you haven't done marijuana.
Have not.
You've never tried.
Nope.
The magic plant.
No.
You've never eaten a taste of that sticky icky.
No.
But if you partook. And I said, what would Swag watch if Swag was really high? Okay, if you're Kevin
Love. Know, I'm a closet Artist Gilmore fan.
Well, yeah. Talk about YouTube. Artist Gilmore highlights. That's when you're high.
Yeah.
That's your
Old
Celtics
Spurs,
Pistons.
Artist Gilmore, the Iceman, the original Iceman,
the
George
roll.
Gervin, who can finger roll. Some Alvin Robertson.
The real Iceman.
The only Iceman.
Suck it, Caleb. The real Iceman is George Gervin. That's when you're high. When you're really high, I have you Googling Nicholas 86 Masters. I have to have you going to the great sport event that not a lot of people probably YouTube on a regular case, and you're just like, I need to relive it. I remember watching it. And I have you going to 86 Masters.
40-year-old Jimmy Connors, when he made a run to like the semis of the U.S. Open.
That's when you're really high.
He was playing all these night matches, pumping his fist in the crowd.
I will tell you, you could definitely get stuck into a vortex if you're feeling a certain way mentally, if you're like, oh, dude, this is great. And then the next video plays, and then the next video plays. But you, when you're really high, 86 Masters. Now, when you're really high, you're going 40-year-old Jimmy Connors.
Yeah.
That's
maybe
that's
83 Sixers.
83 Sixers, surprise title team.
When they swept.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a shocking title. It's crazy to look back at that era. The whole decade is Celtics-Lakers. Yeah,
Caldwell Jones, Moses Malone.
Yeah, Moses Malone.
Doctor.
Yep.
Andrew Toney, Mo Cheeks.
Yep.
Bobby Jones off the bench.
Barkley missed it by a year.
Yep.
Missed it by a year. Loaded final hour. Move on the radio program. Kick it off. We'll talk with Jason Minix, our good friend in San Antonio, Texas. And are they panicked down in San Antonio as they head back to New York for Game 3? Jason Minix joins us the final hour, Dirt and Sprague, on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.